Well, seasons of the soul. A good time to do it where we have a change of season. I quoted Ecclesiastes when I was talking about stones: to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to rend and a time to sow. And our seasons change, and our religious traditions all recognize them. We recognize it with Ecclesiastes. We recognize it in the Hindu tradition with, depending on how you count it, the four stages where child doesn't count, but of householder and forest dweller and eventually wandering ascetic. I think the wandering ascetic stage may be a metaphor for when we wander in our minds and when we get older and start to reflect over a longer past rather than the shorter future. But if your minds start to wander during a sermon and you find yourself becoming a wandering ascetic, I'm not doing my job. I'm supposed to keep you here somewhere around the householder stage of things. Speaking of not doing my job, a little over a year ago, I announced my intention to retire by June of 2015. That was a deadline. Now, when you use the word dead and retire in the same sentence, it is daunting, I have to tell you. But that was a deadline. That was an honor before. I was concerned that it would take us together up to 2 years to come to the conclusion to make the right choice to step up to what this congregation needs and deserves, a full-time minister who lives locally. You may have noticed that I live 50 miles away, which on a Sunday morning is a mere 55 minutes. On a rainy emergency, it can be 2.5 hours. This does not give you the service or me the access, really, that would be ideal. And after 21 years of doing this, I'm really proud of what we've accomplished together. I would say sinfully proud if I were of a more orthodox faith. We have come a very long way from meeting downstairs a few people, a saving remnant of about 12 people with whom I met the first time who either wouldn't or couldn't sing. And it's a fine line in Unitarian Universalism. As we were discussing earlier, Unitarians do read ahead so they know what words not to sing because they don't agree with them. Even though up at Camp de Benneville, a beautiful place, as Chris, who never knew his middle name before, said, we'll sit around this campfire and sing, "Give me a home where the buffalo roam," where very few of us want a home where the buffalo are roaming, but we don't feel like hypocrites doing that. But we had no music. I remember saying, okay, let's sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. You don't have hymnals, you don't have music, you all know Row, Row, Row Your Boat. And they went, why? And I apologize, Sangeeta, but I lied to them, and I said, it's an old Hindu hymn. Our job is to row through life, and rowing is inevitable, but we have the choice to row merrily, merrily, merrily. And so this whole congregation was built on a lie. But it was plausible. I mean, it was plausible. We came from downstairs with no music, no religious education program, until we're up here. We're up here with a pretty good, what they would call in the entertainment business, house, with programs for our children of all ages, with adult education, with kids, with teens, that has made this congregation what it is. And we have come such a very long way, and we have a presence in the new building. We have a sense of permanence, even if the Sukkot out there is a reminder that we are all transitory here, but to be mindful of how transitory we are and not be stopped by that, and still to build places of seeming permanence that suit our needs. We don't have an edifice complex. We don't need grand cathedrals. We need a good, clean, inspirational space to be together, to grow together, to talk together, to sing, such as it is, together, to hear our music. And we have music. We have our choir. We have our house band. We have amazing soloists. We have all the hand chimes, both for the children and for the adults. This congregation has grown in number, in complexity, in a sense of assurance. So when I gave the congregation 2 years' notice, I thought it would take that amount of time to have the institutional structure and the courage to take the next step. It was my fear, not my hope, that it would take 2 years. I called in my friend and colleague, the Reverend Ken Brown, who spoke to this congregation. Then we went up to the new building, and we met together with the old board, and he went through the steps of transition of calling an interim minister who would do the transitional work, either dealing with grief over the end of a long ministry or dealing with the celebration over the end of a long ministry. And both those things are natural parts of any process of change. The old board and the new board and the strategic planning committee surveyed the congregation, and the congregation gave a clear and, in my strongly held view, correct response. When given the choice of standing still, of moving backwards, of getting another part-time, or of going for the full-time, full service that will help this congregation get to the next level, the clear answer was yes. The committee crunched the numbers and then did a little bit of yoga after being crushed by the numbers and said, you know, we've got the people here and we've got the history here of being able to do the things that we are truly committed into doing. When we wanted to move from downstairs to upstairs, we did. When you brought me on a very long time ago, 21 years ago, you were at a low ebb and I was at a crisis point, and we took a chance on each other, and it's worked out very nicely for both of us, as I believe I have grown as an individual and that this congregation has grown as a community. So we're ready to take the next step. This is good news. Therefore, I'm announcing that my retirement is scheduled to take place on June 8th of this year. I'm sorry, well, 2014, because otherwise I've been working for nothing for a couple months. June 8th of this next year. And, of course, I have mixed feelings. I'm a human being, very close to being, from time to time, a normal human being. And any big life transition has gains and losses. When I remember moving out of from my family and going away to college, there was excitement of a new world and all of the independence. My family reminded me that I did not have the financial independence that I might have thought I had, but there was loss and there was gain. Marriage, again, is a gain of intimacy and also a loss of a certain amount of freedom as you take on responsibilities. Everything has gain and loss to it. The choice to have children. You get the wonderful intimacy of raising a child, and you get the wonderful intimacy of raising a child. I think you have spoken to that, Bill. Yes. And so, too, with retirement. I look forward to a lot of things, but I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss the sermon process. In about 42 years of doing this, I calculated I've done about 1,800 sermons, representing somewhere close to 500,000 words. That's a lot. And I love the process of creating it. I love the process of delivering it. And it is something that I will miss, but I will still get to wrestle with the great issues of life in my column in The Observer and my 16 newspapers in the Los Angeles News Group, as well as teaching at the university. But I'll miss this, the eye-to-eye intimate contact, the working in real time and changing what is going on in my head and my mouth by what I'm seeing from you. Jim will remember well a sermon that I did some years ago where I was tanking. I was looking at people and it wasn't working. And I started just vamping, doing a little jazz until I hit something that started to get eyes lighting up and heads coming. That's intimacy. That's relationship. And it's because this isn't performing. You're not an audience. You're a congregation. There's a difference. This is not simply about entertaining you. I don't want to be boring, but it also isn't trivial. When I look at those almost 500,000 words, I know that I don't know that much. My job is to wrestle with issues great and small. And sometimes I might think that I pinned it, and sometimes I get pinned by it, but to model for all of us that it is safe to explore. It's safe to reach. It's safe even sometimes to do a belly flop because it's a loving community, not an audience. And I say that with my faith proven today, when before the sermon I gave a dozen of you stones. That was a better laugh line than it got. That didn't get anything at all. Have I really lost it completely? Oh, my God. I don't think I can wait till June 18th then. I'm going to think about why that didn't work, but I'll get back to you on it next week. But it's important to know that this isn't an audience. This is a congregation. This is a congregation that meets together because we value each other and respect each other, that we don't come out of simple habit or guilt. We come to see our friends, to search, to touch hands, to be helped, to be held, sometimes to be held back. That's the nature of intimacy. You have graced me with a kind of intimacy that is rare. I have been with you over all of these years at times of the great transitions in passages in your lives, of birth, of marriage. Birth often coming before marriage these days. That's one of the changes that's gone on in my career. But of birth, of marriage, yes, of divorce, of coming of age, and yes, of retirement, and of death, and of healing. Being with you in these situations, holding hands, looking into eyes, is the meaning of intimacy. And I cannot tell you how much that trust and that connection has meant to me. You are very dear. And when I do retire, I will miss not the job, because it's not a job, it's a calling. I will miss you and this community. Understand this. My investment is in your success. I am fully on board with the next step that you're going to take. But I've taken you as far as I can, given my age, 69 in 2 weeks. I'll get to the 70th part in the last paragraph. I hope. And it's time for you to take that step up, which I know you can do. I announced in the newsletter column, and I had gotten permission from the board to create a ministerial transition fund to help this congregation take the next step, the step up. Not back, not stand still, not off a cliff, but up to an interim minister and a full-time settled minister. It's going to take some commitment of funds. We have funds, we have reserves, and we're not afraid to use them. But my professional responsibility is I want us to have a better cushion. And so I got permission to raise $50,000 from your contributions. Do lock the doors. And in order to backstop and underwrite the transitional expenses, because a full-time minister is going to cost more. An interim minister is also going to cost more, and there will be settlement expenses. And if you care to honor my service here, and while, of course, it would be lovely for you to contribute to the trip that I'm planning for my 70th birthday to celebrate it in Israel, or as some of you grew up with the Holy Land, terrific. But first, my legacy is in the success of this community. First, make a contribution to the Ministerial Transition Fund. It's really important. We will make this next step. We will work together until my last day, revivifying some of our committees and working to create this fund and getting ready for what is going to be progress for this community. But understand that this was the longest ministry of my career, the 42 years that I spent. There were about three or four at Star King, about 14 at Studio City. I have been with you. We have some of us aged together. I've watched your children grow up, and it has been an unalloyed joy. There is a philosophical question that I can't quite answer, and that is, if one understands work as trading money for something that you really don't want to do, I have never worked here. It has been my honor and my privilege and mostly joy, sometimes sorrow and tears, to be with you on the journey so far. You're going to go off in next year on another journey. I will be retiring to writing and speaking and other places. And I look forward to many aspects of that. But know how truly dear you are to me and how much I am invested in this next step being a great next step. So, when you see my name come up on your telephone, know that I'll be asking one or two things. One is that when I invite you to a meeting or to participate in a committee, it's not a commitment for all time. I'm going to chair this committee until I die in place. It's coming to a meeting, and I want you to say yes. And when I ask you, be a part of our next step and join with others in having the commitment to grow. The commitment to be and to get what it is that you deserve and to continue what we have built together. I want you to consider it really seriously, and I want you to say yes in the ability that you have to say yes. Because what we have been about from the beginning has been saying yes. Yes to change, yes to risk, yes to hope that isn't passive, but hope that is fueled by our commitments. Because when we believe and value things, we have always made it happen. Let us together make it happen until June 8th. And then you finish the job, and I will stand by and smile and always feel a part of your journey as being a major part of my journey.